special report. Relief in Boise, Idaho.
Skylar Mead and Nicholas Umpenauer are in custody.
That's Boise Police Chief Ron Weiniger, who confirms they have caught and rearrested an escaped prison inmate and his accomplice after they busted out of a hospital just yesterday.
There was a short vehicle pursuit, and both suspects were taken into custody separately. There were no shots fired or extensive use of force in this operation.
Police say they may have killed two people on the run. They also shot and injured two corrections officers. Department of Corrections Director Josh Chewalt.
One of our officers was released from the hospital last evening, while two remain in the hospital. They're stable, improving, and I think with today's news, their spirits are lifted.
Another officer was mistakenly shot by a responding officer. Everyone is expected to be okay. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A one-time associate of former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani is accusing Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson of spreading misinformation about President Biden's family at the Russian government's behest.
So when the media was getting skeptical, the plan was to have a U.S. Senator, Ron Johnson, to push that disinformation even further.
Correct.
Lev Parnas testifying at Biden's impeachment hearing yesterday. Johnson's office says the claim is baseless. A new poll shows Donald Trump with a 3-point lead over President Biden among Wisconsin voters. The survey was done by Emerson College Polling and The Hill. Trump's lead is within the poll's margin of error. The same voters give Senator Tammy Baldwin a 3-point lead over Eric Hovde. That's 4 points closer than last month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The latest weather update indicates that the snow system's track has shifted towards the south. As a result, areas in southern Waukesha and Milwaukee counties and Racine and Kenosha counties could see a significant buildup of snow. Snow bands are forecasted with potential accumulations ranging from 2 to 8 inches in certain areas. However, the exact locations of where the bands will form remain uncertain. Lisa Hale has the latest about the search for Elijah Vu.
Two Rivers police have spent over half of this year's overtime budget in the last 4 weeks alone as they search for missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Two Rivers City Council has approved an amendment to their city budget to make sure that contingency funds will be available to cover these costs. The money to cover any shortages will come from multiple sources. Elijah was reported missing a month ago on February 20th.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks fell behind by 15 points and trailed most of the game. They got it to within 1 point with just a couple of minutes left to play, but the Celtics pulled away. Coverage on ESPN.
That will count. It's a 3-point game, and that'll do it. Lillard finishes with 32. And the Celtics earned their 55th win of the season, leading the way for the Celtics tonight with 31.
The final, the Celtics 122, the Bucks 119. Boston now winning 10 games in a row at home. Giannis did not play again tonight due to a sore hamstring. The team comes home for a game tomorrow night. At Fiserv Forum, they'll host the Brooklyn Nets, followed by a Sunday night game against the Thunder and the Lakers next Tuesday night in prime time. Baseball, the Brewers had the day off. Tomorrow night, they take on the Giants in Arizona. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for tonight. A winter weather advisory in effect, though, for much of your Friday. 1 to 2 inches of snowfall overnight with lows in the lower 30s. Snow continues on Friday, another 1 to 3 inches. Afternoon highs in the mid-30s, currently 35 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former true. Lover.
I got it a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why... I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, this is Don Rosen. Join me Friday morning at 7 when we talk about the Royal Family Kids Camp with Rick Teller. That's Friday morning at 7 right here on WRJN.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, Friday Eve, Dom. I feel the levity already.
Yeah, I can tell, man. You're very excited over there, Crudy.
We've got a happier happy hour. We're rolling into it. I'm gesticulating. I'm doing the double dogger Trump gesticulation. If you've ever seen him dance, you know what I'm talking about, folks.
Is that what it is? Is that dancing?
That's white guy dancing.
Yeah.
Dom, many topics for this hour, and perhaps your phone calls, 844-967-2789. But I've never thought I would find the day when I said, I want to steal a good idea from Fox News. Want to steal sponsored prayers from Fox News. Have you seen on the Foxy News? Now, you can sponsor a prayer, Dom. Oh, on the program, they've taken to doing this. I would like to point out, got a nice little card here from a lady. I'm going to read it for you in brief, Dom. Correspondence. I love when people handwrite us a note. Dear Devils.
They think Edge?
They did. Well, technically.
All right.
There is an accompanying check that we will throw at our, you know, at our bar tab someday, very, very soon. Dear Devils, here's a small contribution towards continuing to spread your message. We really need it up north, as when I'm up there at the bars, all I hear next to people bitch about is Biden. So I'm happy that your common sense and style of communication will reach the people up there. They're potheads too, in a little smiley face.
We have so much in common.
I've been listening to you for years, and you have brought a smile to my face and laughter in my soul, so thank you for that. Keep up the great work, and someday I'm determined to learn how to read aloud on the radio. I'm determined to come to one of your broadcasts in a bar or the weed cruise. Remember when we had the bright idea about doing a weed cruise and then the pandemic set in? I think we need to reorganize the weed cruise, Dom. Or the weed cruise you had planned, which sounded like a blast. Thanks again, Lori. Sincerely, your radio psychotherapist.
Oh, thank you, Lori. That was very nice.
Well, I've heard you described as a psycho on the radio, Dom, but
cute but psycho. That's what they say.
Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
I got a t-shirt and everything.
Lori, kind enough to say we had touched her soul. I know you don't think such things are out there in the world, but let me see if I can touch a different part of you. What about your financial sensibility? What if we did sponsored prayers for the gullible and the faithful, as you will, like the Fox News is doing it? I found this one.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I sleep okay at night. I can pay the cable bill, man. You know, I don't need to like be hustling people money for their prayers.
Well,
man.
You're not thinking outside the box here. Okay. Outside the confessional box, if you will, Dom. Fox News aired a sponsored prayer. Here's the one it should do next, or perhaps the devil's advocates, Dom. I am very much thinking about stealing this great idea. Sponsored prayers on the devil's advocates. The difference being perhaps we're praying to Satan, perhaps.
No, we are not. I don't believe in Christian gods.
We have been accused, though, of being satanic because the whole devils in the devil's advocates in the name, Dom. Some don't know that that's like the antagonist, protagonist, the whole he said, he said thing. They don't
get it. Yeah, I am Beelzebub and you are. I have so many names.
Let's go to the column for a minute.
Let us pray.
Alexandria Petrie, let us pray for your financial support. So apparently she writes, Fox News is airing sponsored prayers now. Fox and Friends started its Sunday morning program with a special Lenten prayer brought to you by the viewers of the prayer app, Hallo. Maybe the Civic Media app could sponsor a prayer.
Now, if it was Halo, you might have my attention.
As an Episcopalian, she writes, I suppose all my prayers have been sponsored by King Henry VIII for hundreds of years, but this is still wild to me. As long as we're letting sponsors lead us in prayer, and again, Dom, I think you're undermining the monetization that's possible with this great idea I'd like to steal here. I have some more suggestions for possible backers. This feels like the kind of concept that your youth pastor thought would be a funny chain email in 2008, but I'm not above it, she writes. And you don't even need to write any new prayers. You could probably get north of a dozen different sponsors for the Lord's Prayer alone. You don't even know the Lord's Prayer, do you, Dom? Our Father.
I did go to a Catholic high school, Crudy, and I was eventually excused from religion class because apparently some things are a matter of faith, and that's a bad answer.
Dom, Our Father, who is sponsored by 23andMe. Art in Heaven, sponsored by Etsy.com. You know, see how she does this. Hallowed Be Thy Name, sponsored by Spirit Halloween. Thy Kingdom Come,
Burger King.
Oh, yeah. It's not Whopper Wednesday, though. They Will Be Done. TrustedWill.com.
No, you do it. You do the prayer. I'll do the sponsorship. We gotta do a test run here.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Boeing.
You know, I've flown Boeing recently. 737 MAX 9. My son pointed it out to me. I'm like, thanks for that. I did a little prayer that day.
Yeah, I bet you did. Who was it sponsored by?
By God. And Fox News. Here's one. Give us this day our daily bread.
Panera.
And forgive us our debts.
The Trump campaign.
And we forgive our debtors.
Not the Trump campaign.
And lead us not.
The anti-Biden pack.
Into temptation.
Temptation's creamy Paris cat treats.
But deliver us.
UPS.
I bet you FedEx would step up on that one. From evil.
X.com.
For thine kingdom is the power and the glory forever and ever. Unfortunately,
the Trump campaign again.
Men.
Grindr. Alexander Petrie at the Washington Post. Yeah, it's pretty amusing. She's funny.
If you'd like to advertise with the devil's advocates or have us read your prayer on the air, call me 844-967-2789. I'm not above selling Dom's soul. He doesn't think he needs it.
We can have it.
Let's go back to the phones, Dom. Just wanted to have a little fun with that one. You know, I think it's very important that we lead each day's programming with a little sponsored prayer time.
Oh, God, no.
Mark from Sussex. Welcome back, Mark. How you been, our little conservative love muffin?
Hey, Mark.
I'm good. My call name from now on is going to be Lauks Mark. Remember that. So,
but you anyway, lived in Lauks, dude? Mark,
yes, remember we had this conversation. So, but
again, pretty forgets things a lot, Mark. We'll you know, keep calling. We'll try to remember.
So I appreciate that. So I was listening to the first hour of some of the callers for the recall of Ron Johnson, and I heard these things. I heard redistricting. Okay, so it's a statewide election for Senate. I heard Democrats are racist because they didn't vote for Mandela Barnes. And then I heard impeachment. So I guess I'm confused as to how any of those, I mean, are these callers, are they, I mean, educated or what's going on there?
Well, Mark, we are in the act of educating them. Impeachment could happen to a U.S. senator through a two-thirds vote. But, of course, they would never do that to one of their own. However, Mark, I do have some qualms with Senator, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and some of the information that has come to light. So I want to educate the electorate because they're not clear. What is the path? Can you recall a U.S. senator in the state of Wisconsin? The legal indication seems to be yes. And then the question is, does he merit it? And I think the consensus is yes, but probably would be a stronger case if there was a legal indictment and eventually a conviction, because I think he's done some criming, Mark. How about you, man? You okay with a U.S. senator that's out there being a propaganda mouthpiece for the Russians? And above and beyond that, would play a part in moving the fake electors on in the scheme that was meant to overthrow the outcome of the election in 2020? Mark, that's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Those are his actions.
I will comment on that. So I hear this a lot. Why isn't Josh Call bringing them to court? I don't think he's got squat to take them to court on.
Then why would we see the charges come down in differing states? I believe indictments in Nevada, charges from the Attorney General in the state of Michigan. This crime originated here, Mark. They franchised it to other states, but Kenneth Cheeseborough and Jim Troupas started the fake electors plot in Wisconsin, sir.
May or may not have, but again, I don't.
Well, think the evidence says they did, Mark. I can read.
Okay, well then, why isn't he? Because he does not have enough evidence. And
well, apparently apparently we got 1 minute left, Mark. There might be an investigation going on.
Cheeseborough says he's cooperating with Wisconsin investigators.
Mark, what's your opinion? Do you believe that the fake elector scheme is a bad thing? Do you think that's something that is indictable? Do you think that you would want Democrats or Republicans to act that way again in the future? Where do you stand on this issue, Mark?
So, no, I don't agree with it. But from what I understand, this was a backup to the people that were in place to vote on.
That's what they would tell you after the fact, trying to cover their asses, Mark. There were no caveats. Caveats could have been included. Andrew Hitt, then the Republican chairman of the state of Wisconsin, is a lawyer by trade and did not force the inclusion of a caveat saying only to be used in a case of electoral emergency. This was fraud, dude. You know it. I know it. Ron Johnson knows it. Come back. More Devils.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for you, as always, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I know it's off topic. Do you see the Kyle Rittenhouse was doing a public appearance yesterday and didn't receive a warm welcome? Now, Kyle Rittenhouse was the vigilante that killed a couple people in riotous aftermath in, what was it, Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he was questioned by university students, and I thought they were being relatively polite, not profane, because we checked, can't play profane on the radio, but they came to the event and they questioned Rittenhouse, and this was an event sponsored by Charlie Kirk, and they asked Rittenhouse, well, you okay with what this guy, Charlie Kirk, has said? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, we've got the sound, don't we? We've got the sound, Rich. Kyle Rittenhouse was chased off a university stage. I think he left of his own cowardice volition, but here's how it's being reported, Dom. Rittenhouse, who rose to notoriety after killing two people and wounding a third with his AR-15, yeah, blew a guy's hand off, right? During the riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin in the summer of 2020, fled the stage during an appearance at the University of Memphis Wednesday as Black Lives Matter protesters stormed the event. Now, let's not forget, well, I'm not going to distract the audience. Let me continue. Video, and we've got some sound from the video, Dom, shows Rittenhouse 21 rushing off the stage after protesters, some of whom were carrying signs that read, "Put Rittenhouse behind bars, not a podium, and no killers on my campus," started booing loudly. Yes, very afraid of the booing people, Dom. A jury found Rittenhouse not guilty on all counts in his murder trial, and that made him sort of a MAGA hero, right? So anyways, the two people killed by Rittenhouse were 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum and 26-year-old Anthony Huber. Gage Grusskreutz, 27, was the wounded party. Let's just play the sound. Before Charlie Kirk.
We shouldn't celebrate Martin Luther King Day. We should be working those days.
Said those
talk
things.
To Tommy Brown Jackson, an affirmative action hire. He talked nonsense about George Floyd. And he said he'd be scared if a black pilot was on a plane. Does that not seem racist?
I don't know anything about that.
Then answer no. Does that seem racist? Is a yes or no question, Kyle?
After all the things I just told you, would you consider that hate speech?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Deflection! 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 Yeah!
And then,
and then he walked off.
Yeah!
He walked off with a dog. He had a dog, like, on the stage with him. Does he need a service dog?
It says emotional support dog.
Perhaps it is. Well, he probably cried himself to sleep last night, Dom, but kind of cowardice. And this was not a overfilled auditorium. I mean, the reason the Black Lives Matter protesters could get so close to this guy, when I say close, they were like filling the first three rows, was because right. Kyle Rittenhouse didn't exactly have a packed house for the Charlie Kirk University of Memphis function.
Yeah, weird how that happens. Not a crowded house, huh?
It was
terrible.
So I wanted to make sure I gave you the latest on Kyle Rittenhouse. Normally I'd save it for a Friday, Dom, but you know, that seems so far away right now.
Oh, and if I recall, Kurt, you know, my memory, man, the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case wasn't the greatest. Let's just put it that way, to my recollection. So not only did Kyle get away with it, I mean, you walk into a situation and what, you're protecting the property of the used car lot that didn't ask you to be there, and they decided to shoot people. Okay. And if you saw somebody shooting people, you have two options, I guess, right? You can try to stop them, or you can run or get shot. Maybe three options. So not only is he a murderer or a killer, he wasn't convicted of murder, he's a killer, he's also a coward. And he's probably a little bit racist, because I remember, recall some pictures he was hanging out with the white power OK people.
The 3%ers.
Outside a bar. Yeah.
Well, a lot of those sorts of people help fund him. And let's not forget Lynn Wood, the crazy partner of the Kraken lady, Sidney Powell, was his personal representative, raised like $2 million. I think Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons was a big funder, grandiose funder of that effort. You can be a part if you've got Kyle Rittenhouse on the mind, 844-967-2789. Good to see him booed off the stage for failing to answer very straightforward questions about the association he would make with Charlie Kirk. Well, if you ain't a racist, why are you hanging out with the racists? Well, what do you mean? Well, here are the racist things he continues to say. I don't know anything about that.
I just told you, dude. I mean, like, literally, here's all the things. Well, I don't know anything about that. Now you know about that. Now you can answer. Of course, he's a coward and presumably a little bit racist.
Is that what they teach in Republican media training? You just claim ignorance about everything. Like, I've never seen the president tweet before. You know, remember when they do that about Trump? Like, I don't know what he's tweeting. I got to go. I got a phone call.
There's so many things going on in my world to read Donald Trump's tweet stream. No.
Dom, there is another interesting headline breaking, and it sort of relates to the earlier conversation, the electoral math in the U.S. Senate. Bob Menendez, the multi-indicted Bob Menendez, apparently acted as a unregistered foreign agent of Egypt and some other countries. Self-enriched, got some gold bars that were very specifically marked and in his house and some cash.
Guilty. Hey, he's a Democrat. He should go. But what's happening?
Well, here's the breaking news the people should know. The New York Times reporting at this hour, Senator Robert Menendez, facing federal bribery charges, there's that, Dom, said he would not seek re-election as a Democrat.
Oh,
but... there's a but. That should just be period, right? But he didn't rule out joining the Trump cabinet. No, he didn't rule out running as an independent. Like, he's still going to go interfere in the electoral math in New Jersey, still screw up the math in the U.S. Senate, as some would perceive. But he's going to do the honorable thing and not run as a Democrat.
I mean, if you're already hoarding gold bars and cash, I mean, regardless of your political affiliation, what makes you think he would do the right thing now? I mean, this is how these cats roll. You're if you're playing those games, you're trying to get away with it, and you're never going to just say, oh, you caught me. My bad. Sorry, folks. Here's the gold bars. Here's everything I did. Mea culpa. I'm going to retire now.
Well, what the American people are starting to learn, Tom, it does also matter who you catch for a judge. I mean, Trump might be in jail already if it weren't for Eileen Cannon and his appointment of her and the fact that he caught her in the West Palm Beach case. That's the classified documents. But Dom, less lucky, apparently the former president in the New York case. Jennifer Rubin tells us New York judges' rulings on evidence couldn't have gone worse for Trump. It's a happier,
happy. Trump's having a rough week, but Monday's going to be even better.
Oh, could be. When he fails to make bond, or... maybe he doesn't. Right Wing Talk Radio saying, no, he's rich, just not by billionaire standards. More Devil's Advocates. Me either. I'm rich in friendships. Yours.
Coming up Friday on Matt Nair On Air, it's time to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer will join us from the recombobulation area. Don't miss it.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Historical Society is taking over an historic theater in Baraboo. The Al Ringling Theater will become an extension of Circus World. It'll continue to serve as a home for local and regional performing arts. The Al Ringling Theater was built in 1915. A conservative group wants Kyle Rittenhouse to speak to college students in Ohio. Rittenhouse killed two people during the Kenosha riots 4 years ago. Ali Greco is a student who wants to keep him off the Kent State University campus.
Passed with violence, having it on campus is going against Kent State's mission, which includes ethical and humanitarian values in the service of Ohio and the global community. And this is not ethical, and this does not promote those values at all.
Four students were shot to death at Kent State in 1970. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine County lawyers have weighed in on the circuit court contest. The Racine County Bar Association has released the results of its judicial qualification poll. Members were asked to vote on the qualifications of the candidates running for the Branch 3 seat. The options were to vote for Tony Young, Jessica Lanotte, or consider both candidates equally qualified. Young got 41 votes, Lanotte 31, and there were 11 votes for both candidates being equally qualified. Motley Crue, Maroon 5, Brittany Howard, and Lil Uzi Vert are among the Summerfest headliners this year. Officials at the world's largest music festival announced the majority of the lineup for the 2024 session this morning. It's over 140 artists over 3 weekends of the big gig. Summerfest runs on the weekends, June 20th through July 6th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
I'm Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Life is a gamble, especially when you gamble. Last week, News Nation reported that Bruno Mars owed $50 million to MGM Resorts from gambling debts. Mars is under contract with MGM, where he makes $1.5 million a night, which means if the rumors are true, it's going to take him 5 weeks to pay off that $50 million. MGM went on the record saying they are proud of the relationship they have with Mars, who is one of the world's most thrilling and dynamic performers, and a guy you definitely want at your poker table. Fans of the royal family continue to be concerned about the well-being of Kate Middleton. Rest easy, the New York Post reports that Middleton's professional look-alike, 43-year-old Heidi Hagen, is finally speaking to the media. Hagen, who has impersonated Kate since 2012 at parties and meet-and-greets, says recent photos of William and Kate are legitimate. She says it is not her in the photos, as some have claimed. I mean, if you can't believe an impersonator look-alike, who can you believe? In a related story, Prince William was seen with Elvis. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for tonight. A winter weather advisory in effect, though, for much of your Friday. 1 to 2 inches of snowfall overnight with lows in the lower 30s. Snow continues on Friday, another 1 to 3 inches. Afternoon highs in the mid-30s. It's 33 at our studios.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 go. AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday that makes it Friday Eve up in here. A happier happy hour. Play it along. You know, the good ones are. At 844 877-967-2789. Love it when you participate. Some working late, trying to get some work done, Dom, using the text line. Although I know one participant doesn't seemingly work very hard. It's got plenty of time to text us.
Is that Jeff?
Trash talking Jeff from Shorewood. Although hey, I do want to acknowledge Jeff, who texted in on the WAUK line, 5:40 a.m., the Beast of the East. He says, Crudy, you are an effing genius. And I think he means, my opinion, we should recall Ron Johnson, nationalize the race, will be winning back probably the deficit Senate seat, and probably could even get the party infrastructure to support that effort if we just wait 1 year. 1 year.
Patience. And the other side of that, Crudy, or at least additional to that, another year would give either Josh Call, the Wisconsin's attorney general, or Jack Smith, special prosecutor in the J6 case. I mean, it's not just Ron Johnson who was involved, and certainly that's the case here in Wisconsin, but lots of Congress folks were down for the program. Now, we have very specific issues with Ron Johnson. He was mentioned specifically in Lev Parnas's sworn testimony yesterday about he's the guy that we feed, he's the friend of ours kind of thing. So, yeah, Ron's not the only one, but perhaps Jack will get around to it as well.
Well, Jeff also texted in, and Dom will vote for Rojo on a recall. WTF. Are you going to follow your prior example? And
Don't conflate. Those are totally separate issues. They're not related whatsoever. And Ron Johnson is very specifically accused by us and the public record of being involved in a conspiracy to throw out my vote. Now, that being said, Scott Walker and the Republicans passed Act 10. They went through a legislative process. Now, granted, he was criming at the time. We didn't know that at the time. But these are separate issues. Jeff, I would not vote for Ron Johnson in a recall effort.
Well, even before you had given your answer publicly on the air, now you've put it out there, you would vote against Ron Johnson in a recall effort. You would vote to recall Ron, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yes, I would vote to recall Ron Johnson for his involvement in the conspiracy to overturn the election of this country and take away my vote. Abso-frickin-lutely.
Okay, that's going to come as a relief to Jeff from Shorewood, who before you had answered had already committed. He says, I'm in for the weed cruise. So he was going to be stuck with you on a boat, perhaps, with or without your clarity on voting to recall Ron Johnson, given the opportunity.
Opportunities are made, baby. They don't just come along. I mean, this is something that we could, you know, dedicate ourselves to, Michael. Our community service, perhaps.
Yes. Let's serve.
Not mandated by a judge in this case.
I have not had community service in a long time. Yeah. I've been off paper for 30 years. Dom, Jennifer Rubin, Washington Post, she evaluates the New York judge, and this is the Alvin Bragg case in New York. This is the Stormy Daniel. You know, hard to keep them all straight in your mind. You got to have little cues, little mental cues. But this, and I'm going to stop calling this the hush money to a porn star. I'm going to stop diminishing what this is.
Thank you, Crudy. Why now, though? I mean, I've been kind of on you about it. I mean, it's more than that, obviously. But what is it now? Why does Crudy see the light now?
Well, apparently we're moving forward to trial on this one. Yeah. It is my understanding these copious new reams of evidence, the 100,000 documents or whatever, have now been reviewed by the district attorney, by Alvin Bragg.
The SDNY held on to these docs. They sent them out late, and that's what caused the delay, because this trial was supposed to start on Monday. But there still will be a hearing on Monday, the day that Trump's also supposed to come up with the $500 million for the New York State case.
Well, my understanding is maybe 170 of these documents are related or could be construed to be related, and very few of them actually have any pertinent information. So the likelihood that there would be any further delay granted beyond the April 15th is very low. So I'm starting to be a little introspective because April 15th tax day is right around the corner, right, Dom? And I'm going to prefer to call this going forward in my vocabulary as a voter deception case. It was his
origin.
Motive to deceive the voters, the American voters, right? We had the right to be fully informed of who we were going to vote for or vote against. And the Access Hollywood tape, you know, where he's bragging to Billy Bush and he was on the bus, that had come out. Hell, Paul Ryan in the state of Wisconsin had disinvited him from the first
Speaker Paul Ryan from
Speaker
the state of
Paul Ryan had disinvited him from the fall fling, whatever the Republican Party thing was. He was disinvited, can't come. And there was some other stuff out there in the world. There was the catch and kill stuff, catch and kill meaning bad stories that Trump didn't want in the public before the election day. David Pecker, apparently his co-conspirator at the National Enquirer, was paying people off, buying their stories, if you will. But of course, really what the effort was not to enrich the National Enquirer, not to put the story out there for their own benefit, but to kill the story for the benefit of Donald Trump.
I will buy your story, get the rights to your story. You can't tell the story. We're going to tell the story if we want to. And then they don't tell the story. So this just goes away.
And there is the alleged one-nighter that Trump had with Stormy Daniels. And he paid through third party Michael Cohen $130,000. In fact, in one case, signed a Trump org check to reimburse the Stormy Daniels payoff. And if we are to believe his story, he paid her off to not have sex. He paid her off to not have sex. Just, you know, for your own sake, even our conservative friends. No one pays anyone off to not have sex. That's not how the game is played. You know, the hookers don't get paid for not having the sex.
The sex is not the issue.
Sex is not at all the issue in this.
It's not the issue. Number one, the payoff, how do you book it, right? And of course, it doing it in the way you did, you furthered the crime, because not only are you booking it improperly, fraudulent books, you're also interfering with an election. Because so people have the right to know.
It wasn't just the crime. It was also the cover-up, Dom.
One could say.
I just did. Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post. Let's see what she has to say. Dom, I'm going to start. Four-time indicted former President Donald Trump suffered arguably his worst loss or losses in any criminal matter this week when, in New York trial for the alleged falsification of business records, Judge Juan Merchan ruled against him in virtually all his motions to exclude evidence. By contrast, the judge largely granted Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's motion to exclude evidence for trial that Trump believed might be exculpatory. That does not bode well for Trump's chances to avoid conviction when the case goes to trial, likely in a few weeks. From my lips to God's ears, Dom, if there is such a creature. Trump, for example, moved to exclude testimony of former fixer Michael Cohen on the grounds Cohen is a liar. Now the court rebuked this desperate move. Here's their statement, Dom. This court has been unable to locate any treaties, statute, or holding from courts in this jurisdiction or others that support the defendant's rationale that a prosecution witness should be kept off the witness stand because his credibility has been previously called into question. Trump's lawyers, as is pointed out by Rubin, have the right to cross-examine Cohen at trial. The jury will make an evaluation about whether or not this guy's telling the truth, right?
No. We don't even want him there because he's a liar. Yeah, well, you can cross-examine and the jury will judge for themselves. Next. Dom,
Trump also tried to keep back evidence of his intent to influence the 2016 election. That would be the voter deception that I'm going to start calling this, Dom. A material part of Bragg's case and his intent to defraud. Having already ruled on these issues, Merchan, again, the judge, scolded Trump's counsel.
I strenuously object.
Re-arguing this court's prior rulings in this matter is procedurally and professionally inappropriate. and a waste of this court's valuable resources.
Oops.
These motions were also denied. And Trump also wanted to exclude evidence regarding a meeting in which Cohen, Trump, and David Pecker, the unfortunately named and one-time head of American Media Incorporated, you know, that's the National Enquirer guy, Dom. Well, they discussed the catch-and-kill scheme to keep evidence of Trump's sexual transgressions from voters, since this evidence is directly germane to the issue of Trump's intent to defraud. This motion also failed.
Rubin goes on to write, Michonne rebuffed Trump's attempt to block the testimony of two people with damaging stories to tell about him. While excluding any of the lurid details of Trump's interaction with them, Michonne nevertheless found, quote, the steps taken to secure the stories of Dino Shawadin and Karen McDougal complete the narrative of the agreement, stemming the flow of negative information that could circulate about defendant before it reaches the public eye, unquote. He continued, locating and purchasing the information from Stormy Daniels not only completes the narrative of events that precipitated the falsification of business records, but is also probative of the defendant's intent. Evidence of Daniels' polygraph test was excluded, although there was no indication that Bragg intended to use it. Likewise, the judge rejected Trump's effort to exclude evidence, including the Access Hollywood tape.
We're going to have to play that for the audience again someday soon, although we'll have to warn them. It's a little triggering for some.
Trump's violation of federal campaign finance law, one rationale for elevating the crimes to felonies. Cohen's guilty plea, although it cannot be used to prove Trump's intent, and classification of the hush money as promotional expenses for AMI. You don't even know what a write-off is, Jerry. Michonne also rejected Trump's attempt to re-argue that he and his organization were distinct entities. Most important,
corporations are not people, my friend.
The judge refused to exclude more than 100 Trump statements, since these can be classified as admissions against interest. Despite Trump's plea, he will also allow in Alan Weisselberg's notes, that's the CFO, if the prosecutor shows they are business records. In sum, writes Jennifer Rubin, the lion's share of the evidence that Trump views as damaging will be heard by the jury. This underscores the quantity and strength of the facts that implicate Trump. It surely explains why he has been desperate to avoid trial. Even worse for Trump, the judge granted the prosecutors key motions to exclude evidence and arguments that Trump hoped would sway the jury in his favor. Judge knocked out most of Trump's expert Bradley Smith's potential testimony. The quote there, the people's motion is granted to the extent that Smith may not testify as a lay witness, offer opinion testimony regarding the interpretation and application of federal campaign finance laws and how they relate to the facts in the instant matter, nor may Smith testify or offer an opinion as to whether the alleged conduct in this case does or does not constitute a violation of the Federal Election Campaign Act. He can testify generally about what the law does. And in addition, Trump will not get to introduce evidence that the Southern District of New York prosecutors and the Federal Election Commission declined to bring charges against him. I think to James Santel's point, our pal, former U.S. attorney, we still don't know why the SDNY did not prosecute him, but I digress. Rubin goes on, nor will Trump get to air his complaint about selective prosecution. He will be barred from offering hearsay evidence about federal prosecutors' opinions about Cohen's credibility and from presenting evidence in support of a reliance on counsel defense. The judge reserved for later the determination as to whether to admit evidence of Trump's efforts to intimidate and harass witnesses as consciousness of guilt.
Dom, I'm going to bring this to conclusion, although we'll have to skip a bit. Merchant showed himself to be a serious judge who will not indulge Trump's antics nor allow the trial to devolve into a spectacle. The case will be tried as straightforward law. And on the mound of evidence Bragg has accumulated, based on these rulings, Trump should be quaking in his boots. Quaking in his boots. Do you think so? Do you think he owns boots, Dom? I mean, I know Ron DeSantis had those white ones.
Yeah. Yeah, they're right under his work gloves.
Come back, Devils Advocates Radio Show. I think that's a golf glove. You could be a part, 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell and Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Milwaukee attorneys. 111 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1650, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53202.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
This is Don Rosen. We're talking to local guests with lifestyle and important information for you. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the line right now, 844-967-2789. Stick around. Our pals over at the Busted Pencils coming up next.
Dom, I don't want to read too much into this, but regarding the civil fraud trial, and I think a majority of Americans, when you talk about the New York case, can conflate or confuse the civil trial that's already occurred in Judge Engoron's courtroom to the upcoming trial, the Alvin Bragg. So back to the original, the civil, Letitia James, right? Guy's got a big judgment. It's coming due on Monday. Well, don't want to read too much in, but I did take small encouragement from this headline and this reporting, Dom. New York Attorney General Letitia James is already making preparations to seize former President Donald Trump's properties in New York's Westchester County as the Monday deadline for him to post bond in the civil fraud judgment draws near. According to Bloomberg, the New York State's $454 million judgment against Trump in a civil fraud lawsuit was formally registered in Westchester County, just outside of Manhattan, a sign that his properties in the area may be at risk of being seized if the former president fails to post an appeal bond. The report states, while the filing didn't specify a reason for the registration, it is the first step to allow James to secure property liens. And there are two valuable Trump properties in the affluent Westchester County, Dom, Trump National Golf Club and Seven Springs Estate, a 212-acre resort complex. Slapping liens. Now, I did understand that there might not actually be seizures, but she might be putting... not seizures like an epileptic seizure, but seizures like taking through governmental action his properties from him. But there would certainly be liens, which would keep Trump from just selling things out from under, liquidating cash, if you will, Dom. And back to the civil fraud trial for just a moment. I don't know if you noticed, but dirty business Judge Engoron orders increased monitoring of the Trump's org's operations. Why would they do that, Dom?
Federal judge, former federal judge Barbara Jones now has the right to dig into the day-to-day operations of former President Trump's company at the heart of his $464 million civil fraud judgment. Quote, defendants shall provide the monitor with information sufficient to assess the Trump organization's internal controls, including day-to-day operations of its accounting, finance, financial disclosure, and compliance functions, including record-keeping and financial reporting policies and procedures, the order reads. If necessary, the court may enter an order requiring the Trump Organization to implement all or certain of the monitor's recommendations. So they, because before it was like a, she wouldn't get involved, this former federal judge, as the monitor, unless it was a transaction over like $5 million or something along those lines. So now they're tightening that up a bit. So while this is all going on, and while Trump's desperate to, you know, come up with the cash, and with Tish James breathing down his neck already, you know, prepping some beginning paperwork, the monitor gets expanded, let's call it monitoring capabilities.
Dom, Trump, who denies wrongdoing, has said he's been unable to secure a bond and asked the higher court to stay the ruling as he pursues an appeal. And James's office responded Wednesday with a demand for more information about his financial situation. Here's a quote, Dom. They're trying to get under the hood to understand if Trump just doesn't want to take the terms that are being offered or if they really can't get a deal. And the Daily Beast's first report on the new filing in New York Supreme Court notes that Jones previously was privy only to, this is the court monitor.
The monitor, yeah.
Jones was previously only privy to Trump Organization transactions involving more than $5 million in business deals. She now has the right to essentially do whatever she deems necessary to keep the Trump Organization from engaging in dirty business practices, let's just call it. Dom.
He gets the passwords to all the bank accounts.
Dom Ingeron dubbed the new order a productive and enhanced monitorship and mandates Jones' work not be hindered. Don't hinder her. If defendants engage in a transaction or any other activity that has the effect of circumventing or frustrating the mentorship order, the mentor may advise the court or a potential violation of this mentorship order. And while Trump did not respond directly to the ruling, he did take to Truthy Social today, Dom, to complain about Ingeron and the large chunk of change he has been ordered to hand over. Even though I did nothing wrong, a radical left New York judge, a true Trump hater, Arthur Ingeron. And then he puts in parentheticals, are we allowed to speak about his unconstitutional gag order? Picked nope. A number out of all caps, thin air, $355 million plus interest, reminiscent of John Lovitz, the liar on SNL when it was good. What? He's like referencing
old SNL.
Oh, geez.
Thank you.
And wants me to bond it, which is not possible for bonding companies to do such a high amount before I even appeal. That is all caps crazy. I feel bad for him. Don't you feel bad?
No, I don't feel so bad. Not at all. Not one little bit.
Not.
Nope. I don't have.
Where's your
don't have
it. Humanity, huh? Man?
I got humanity. If you're a human, Dick, you're a human from Madison. You'll have the last take today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Woo! I feel bad for him, just like my older brother and sister used to say when I was a kid, but I can't quite reach him. You know, this is all about money anyway. And the Biden camp now, we're finding out, has like 98 million.
155 million, buddy.
Oh, went up. And Trump's at 44, and he keeps going down. He keeps bleeding it off. I'm sorry, but Donald Little Mushroom is going down. It's just as simple as that. He has nothing. He's done. I agree with the guy from the Lincoln Group that said today he's going to be just like a grocery bag full of water, and the bottom's going to blow out, and this campaign's looking more like 1980. I didn't like that analogy because I liked Carter, but he said he's going to get blown out of the water as bad as Carter did, and I agree.
Well, Carter won Minnesota, so he had that going for him, which is nice.
Which was nice.
Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Friday's coming tomorrow. Tune in, Weathermageddon, and also the airing of the grievances. Looking forward to it. Also looking forward to the busted pencils, and oh yeah, Badgers. Tipping off tomorrow at 8:40 on 4 Civic Media stations. Check your local listings. No stream, though. Can't stream the NCAAs.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Thursday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian Vince Moranto. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to ride
into spring by listening to this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Two corrections officers are on the mend and relieved now that a prison inmate and his escape accomplice have